Jets fans, welcome back to the Jets Stream. My name's Jesse Finver, and with me, as always, my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Connor Sheeran. Connor, the New York Jets, baby. I mean,
it's the 2023 New York Jets.
Yeah, I mean, we both picked them to win this game. Stupid man. Idiots. What idiots?
I mean, every
game's
a pick 'em. It's like, I don't know if I can know with this team anymore. It's just. They could go out on Sunday and beat C.J. Stroud and the Texans, and it wouldn't shock me. They could go out and they could get blown out by the Texans, and it wouldn't shock me. Like, I don't know what to think about this team anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. It's ridiculous, if we're being honest. joining us for the third time this season, it's gotten progressively just sadder and sadder since we had you on before the season when we were all picking us to win 10-plus games. What sweet innocent children we were in September and August. Jared Gossiel, first of all, happy belated birthday. You know, the Jets gifted you a loss was it the day after your birthday?
Like 3 days after.
Your birthday weekend. Yeah. So you haven't been on in a while. We'd love to get your take on how things have been good. First of all, how you been? You been good?
Yeah, I've been good. New place. I have a bedroom that has a door now. It's lovely to have a door. Sometimes I just shut it. Just to be able to shut it. Yeah. Life outside of Sundays for 3 hours is generally pretty good.
Yeah. I will put it this way, Jared. I mean, you're on the West Coast, so. Like, they don't ruin your whole day. Like, you still had, like, a whole day ahead of you on Sunday. Like, they wrapped things up by, like, what, 12? 11:30? Things were good, and you were just like, all right, I can focus on the rest of my day.
You know? I'm beyond the point where I'm letting them ruin my day. I can't let them ruin my day anymore. We're 4-8.
Ruin my day is, like...
The season's over. The season's over.
Ruin my day is the wrong phrase. It's just beyond the time of annoying.
Ruining your day.
It's just, they're just annoying, you know?
It's just, we thought the season would be a lot. Jared, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Let's continue how this is making you feel. Because I'm sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah, it's funny because, again, like you said, this is my third time on this season, and you've gotten legitimately now every emotion from me. It was optimism and happiness in the preseason, per usual. You got me at the quarter-ish mark of the season, which was anger and a little bit of sadness. And now you get me here, which is just pure apathy. I just do not care about this football team. Which sucks because there's so many players individually that I should care about. Like, I should care about Quinnen Williams. I should care about Quincy Williams. I should care about Sauce Gardner once again letting up one reception. Like, I should care about Garrett Wilson. I should care about Breece Hall. And I just can't, because I can't care about this team. They've made it impossible to care about them. This is, it feels worse than the Gase years, honestly. I mean, maybe this is recency bias, but it just,
I wouldn't say it's, and maybe, there's and no way it's, I,
maybe it comes from the optimism in the preseason, which is probably where I guess this is, yep. This comes from, but it's just, it's so bad. And I gotta say, like, before you had me on, you introduced me to a little Jets wizard over your shoulder, Jesse, and honestly the Jets wizard might be Jeff Ulbrich, because that man has to be a wizard for getting this defense to not absolutely murder every single offensive player in the locker room at halftime every single game. I don't
They're
know
close.
How they do it. So
well, you saw what CJ Mosley said. The whole team is aware of, like, what's going on. I like to remind myself in times like these of a line from a movie. It's from Fever Pitch. And it is when Jimmy Fallon's character is talking to one of his students on the baseball field. And he's talking about his relationship and how he, he's screwing things up with Drew Barrymore, right? And the kid, in all of his infinite 12-year-old wisdom, goes, "You've loved the Sox your whole life." I'm gonna hold on. "You've loved the Sox your whole life. Have the Sox ever loved you back? Right. I think about that in the last, what has it been? 12 years now. I mean, the Jets don't love us back, guys. They don't love us back. And I mean, Connor, we host a podcast. You know, we love this team. We love this sport. But I think apathy was the right word, Jared. Apathy was the right word. It's the same shit every year. It really is. And it's frustrating. It's heartbreaking, especially this year. It's heartbreaking. In past years, it's just kind of been like, we've been hopeful. We've been, not even hope, we've prayed that a quarterback that we draft pans out. We've prayed that we can make the playoffs and we can be watch competitive football. And it just hasn't happened. So, you know, I still host this podcast. I still love this. I still stupidly love this team, this franchise. But the team doesn't love us back, guys. And, you know, I think this past week I was watching and I was like, I was betting on us to punt like every drive.
Did you win?
I made like $150. Yeah.
Good. Good.
Easiest money of your life.
And like, Jesus. I was like live betting it too, where like I was waiting till we got around like the 40 or 50 just to put it in. Cause I know like, yeah, like, we can get like one first down. Tim Boyle can get one or two first downs in the drive, but he's not stringing together three straight first downs. It's just not happening. I made like $150. And then in the second half, so there was one point where I got up to like $100 and then starting with like 45. And then I placed two bigger, like 25 and 35, whatever, on a punt. And we fumbled and then they scored. And I was like, shit, back to the 45 or whatever it was. I was at a 54. I took out the 45 I had already put in, had $7 left. And I put that on us to attempt the field goal for like plus 460. And that, and we kicked the field goal that drive, and so I was like, "We're back."
Back.
Like that's where I'm at. Like we're just supposed to do. That's what I needed to do to, you know, get through this game. You know, I wasn't like, I was watching the game, and I wasn't like getting pissed like in past weeks where I was getting really frustrated. This was more of like me kind of. I felt like I was kind of laughing at this point, and I was like, you know, this is a money opportunity. Like I made a bunch of money doing this with the Giants last week also, you know? So, I mean, that's where we're at with this Jets team. And it sucks because we're from where we started, the three of us predicting games this season, thinking that we're going to be watching meaningful football games in December, to me having to gamble on us punting and waiting for it to go down from minus 140 to plus money. Minus 240. Yeah, I say it the first time. Yeah, the minus 240 to plus money. I mean, Vegas is like, yeah, you're punting this drive. We know, like, everybody's aware of this. Like, we're not giving you good odds. And I had to, like, almost game the system. That's how down we are. All right.
So, you're down so categorically bad.
Yeah, like, I'm done, like, I'm not putting my heart and soul into this franchise until it has a quarterback that's actually worth putting a heart and soul into. Yeah. And, you know, we have that guy. He's just hurt. And when he's back next year, I'll be fully engaged and back. And I'm going to continue to watch the Jets. I want to see, you know, how Garrett Wilson does. I want to see how Breece Hall does. I want to watch more Sauce Gardner. And I want to watch, like, there's guys, like you mentioned, Jared. Like, there's individuals that you should want to watch. I mean, what else are we doing on Sundays, right? Like,
that's all I'm tuning
working,
in for.
I'm working anyways. I'm going to watch. Like,
yeah. That's all I'm tuning in for. I'm tuning in for individual guys. I want to see, Sauce Gardner get his first interception this season. I want to see Quentin Williams sack somebody. I want to see Garrett Wilson score a touchdown. Cause God damn it. That guy deserves one. And he's got to get another one. Granted, with the quarterback play, I don't know when or if that's ever going to come again. It's probably going to come in garbage time in some game like it did in that Dolphins game. The only thing I was getting angry about on Sunday was the refs. Like, and it's not even like that they were impeding the Jets from getting out of their own way, because they certainly weren't. It was just that, you know, the calls were atrocious. That was the only thing I was getting upset about, was they let the Falcons turn a drive at the end of the first half and let them get into field goal range to score points. Like, that was the only thing worth getting upset about. Other than that, it was just like, this is what the team is. The offense doesn't do anything. And it, we can't even say that it kind of sucks, because it's not even like we can say with the Jets had more time of possession than the Falcons. Not by much, but they had the ball more. They had more yards. Like, technically, you want to look at it, the offense was better than the Falcons on Sunday. It was just, this team is just
incredibly such
a fucking mess that there's just no like way to put this and try to make sense of any of it. Your superstars are held back by other players. You know, Breece can't do anything because the offensive line can't get out of its own way.
And he can't do anything.
Like,
he averaged 1 point something yards a carry last game.
Dalvin Cook had more rushing yards than him. And, you know, Garrett, he's another guy that we saw the charts that the beat writers were posting during the game and after the game. He was getting open. He was open half the time. And all his faults, Zach Wilson would have thrown half the balls to Garrett Wilson when he was open down the field. For all his faults, he would have at least let it fly. And that's like that most positive thing you can say about that guy playing quarterback, is that he would have at least tried to force it to Garrett Wilson. He would have given the, you know, fuck it, Garrett's open somewhere down there. And one or two of them probably would have come down, but Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian were playing quarterback, so that didn't happen. And that was what we watched on Sunday. Just an absolute disaster class of an alleged professional football offense being played. And I guess we'll do it again on Sunday.
So we learned some stuff this week.
Not about the team, but just this team around it. Like this situation.
No, I mean, we learned that Zach Wilson is in fact the best quarterback that is healthy on the roster right now.
That's true.
And I mean, let's just talk about what went down today, because it's kind of crazy. So Diana Rossini and Zach Rosenblatt came out with a story today about Zach Wilson and how the team is unsure of who they want to start at quarterback. And they were unsure if they want to start a quarterback, and they approached their thing. They were leaning towards Zach Wilson, and Zach was unsure of if he wanted to start, which, like, and one of the reports I saw was that he was worried about injury, and like, or perceived injury risk, which I find very interesting that's mm-hmm. like an actual reason he used. But then, so Robert Saleh held his press conference at 3:15, and he comes out and he says he still hasn't decided on a quarterback, but that he talked to Zach Wilson 30 minutes prior, and Zach said he wants the ball. So that's the, like, we kind of, I guess, have to take him at his word that Zach said he wants the ball. But I guess it's like, and I guess I think they amended the report that he will, he'll play if they ask him to, right? I think that's what it said.
I think the report was amended to that he allegedly had conversations with certain players or coaches or staff members in the locker room, and then Aaron Rodgers called Zach Wilson, and Zach was like not definitive about it, and then Saleh spoke to Zach before the press conference, and Zach said, "Give me the ball." So, I mean, it's just another mess. It's another mess. It's another clown show. It's another clown show. What do you want from us? Like, what do you want from us? It's another clown. It's another clown show at the Clown Factory. Like, spoiler alert.
Yeah, the way that first report came out, it made it sound like Saleh went to Wilson and was like, what's your thoughts on starting again, or we're thinking about starting you again or something, when that doesn't seem to be the case. It was just like, it sounded like Zach Wilson was just talking in the locker room to someone and was like, yeah, I don't know, like, you know, if they ask me to play again behind this offensive line and kind of like what the situation is. I mean, I could get like hurt out there. And that's what was reported to Rossini and Zach Rosenblatt. And then
that. I'm sorry, but like, what is this? Like, are you a senior in a bowl game, like playing a bowl game? You have to sit out because you don't want to get hurt.
He needs to play.
Yeah, he's like,
to have a job in the league ever again. He needs to be like, give me the ball.
Do you remember what game he plays? Do you remember what football sport he plays? He plays we saw yesterday on Sunday, Alvin Kamara snapped some dude's leg who wasn't even playing football. He was just on the sideline. This is just the sport.
Poor guy. Yeah.
I know that dude. That's tough.
Poor guy.
It was really funny. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for that guy. It's still so mean.
It's still so bad. It doesn't help. They can't. And Twitter comes out with like amazing.
A million. Yeah. Bad. I mean, listen. Like, people were doing memes when Gordon Hayward snapped his leg in half, and Jay Crowder is like hands on his head, like, oh my god, I can't look at this. You know, the meme of him like, Jesus Christ, what did I just look at?
Oh my god. But yeah, I mean, as far as that goes, yeah, sure, I'd be concerned if I was trying to play behind that Jets offensive line right now. But
I just can't believe that was a thing that like actually was reported, that he was worried about like the perceived risk of injury. Rather than just be there's a risk to injuring yourself on any play. Jalen Phillips was just standing there. He planted and his Achilles exploded.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like everybody's like, this is such an injury riddled season. I feel like, and
it's for, I mean, every team, I feel like, yeah, is just
across
like
the board,
got a lot of injuries.
Team's dealing with it.
Yeah.
Every team in the division right now is dealing with major injuries.
Yeah.
Every team in the AFC East. The Patriots lost their best player for the whole season, Matthew Judon. And they lost their Christian Gonzalez, who was their best cornerback earlier in the season. The Dolphins lost Jalen Phillips. The Bills lost Davis White, and they lost Von Miller to arrest. and Von Miller
to arrest.
Aaron Rodgers and
being a piece of shit.
And Dwayne Brown. Yeah. Like, the whole division has just been just decimated by injuries. And obviously, we've dealt with it the worst. I don't think that's up for debate. But, I mean, it's just a wild season for that. It's crazy. So, yeah. You can get hurt on any play, man. You shouldn't care about that. You're not getting another job unless you go out there and prove that you can be a decent backup in this league. And you have 5 games to do it, or else your career is pretty much over. That's where he's at.
That or your practice squad quarterback that tries to work his way into being a backup again.
I mean, you know? Jamarcus Russell, Jamarcus Russell, he kind of got overweight and kind of fell out of the league that way, right? They were just like, yeah, the guy won't train, he won't condition.
I mean, you got to remember,
bad at quarterback. Like, Zach's like in good shape and he tries.
All you got to remember is the Stephen A. Smith rant. Stephen A. Smith rant about Jamarcus Russell. That guy stole money from the Oakland Raiders. He took $30 million, evidently spent it on a bunch of donuts. Like, that's all you need to remember about Jamarcus Russell and his career.
But I bring him up because he's one, like, Zach is right there with him as one of the biggest busts in NFL history.
Yeah, minus being like overweight and stuff like that. Zach's biggest talent is being athletic, and we know that. And
Zach rolling to the left in his pro day and throwing that pass is the 2021 equivalent of Jamarcus Russell throwing 70 yards on one knee.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty spot on. And then it doesn't help, like, you watch the clip again and again, and you have the announcer in the back, oh my god, like, oh shit. And then everyone starts clapping. It's like, oh yeah, this is the guy, man. This is it. Like, he's not turning the ball over in college like Sam Darnold was. Like, this is the guy. And yeah.
So. Listen. The only thing I'll say about this situation, I don't even care about it anymore because I just don't care about this Jets team right now. Is that it would be very on brand for Zach Wilson to have done this. I mean, again, last year his comments about not taking accountability. This year with this, it just seems like, you know, seems like he always seems like a guy who just can't really read a locker room and doesn't understand locker room dynamics. And that's so it wouldn't shock me if this is true. And if it's not true, then, you know, why is stuff like this being leaked and why is it so plausible that I believe all of this stuff? Like,
and if he did say this, why wasn't he cut immediately? Right? Like, if right. you say that, if you're like, nah, I'm good. See ya. And like, if he refuses to play, can you cut him and get out of his contract for him breaching his contract?
I mean, if he flat out refuses to go in, I mean, look what the Bucks did with Antonio Brown. Dude refused to play, took off his uniform in the middle of a game and ran off the field. They were able to cut him, and I don't think anything happened. So that's essentially the kind of same situation, although Zach isn't, you know, Antonio Brown in terms of his mental state.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's a precedent for that. But also, we got to remember, this report didn't flat out say, like, Zach Wilson told Robert Saleh to fuck off and is like, I'm not going back out there. Like,
despite what the memes would say.
Right. Like, oh, and the memes were pretty awesome. Like, they were pretty great. But what was the one? Who was it from? Kevin Clark. It was just the text of, it's like, oh yeah, we're understaffed tonight. Damn, that's crazy. Good luck though. that was pretty spot on. And yeah, it's not like he flat out just said, he's like, I'm not gonna play. I think the report, if it's true, was literally just like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of nervous, but to go back out there. But at the same time, if what Saleh was saying is true, because he said in his press conference, like, Zach wouldn't be here if he didn't want to play. So
right.
that puts it on the line. It's like, if Zach didn't want to be here, yeah, we would have cut him. And then we beat him. We're a very even weirder spot, because then our only quarterbacks are Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian. And then we just have to watch that, you know, week to week, which is somehow worse than watching Zach Wilson. So
I posted a poll yesterday. Not sure if either of you saw it or not, but I'm ready to fire Joe Douglas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was ready to fire Joe Douglas weeks ago. This guy's a schmo. He's a money-stealing loser. Get rid of him and the rest of him.
It's legitimately insane to me that we went into this season with Tim Boyle and Zach Wilson as the backup quarterbacks. That's fireable right there. I don't care about drafting Sauce and Garrett Wilson and trading Jamal Adams for two first round picks. Like, all right, cool. Like, he's, and like, I don't think he, I guess he gets some credit for bringing in Aaron Rodgers, but yeah, Aaron Rodgers is gone. He's hurt. And while you get credit for bringing in Aaron Rodgers, you also get credit for not back getting a backup for Aaron Rodgers. I'm watching Gardner Minshew, you know, at 7-5 with the Colts, throwing to Michael Pittman and nobody else, and handing the ball to Jonathan Taylor behind Quentin Nelson, and that's it. And our defense is better than theirs, and our offense, our weapons are better than theirs. They're 7-5, and we're 4-8 because they have Gardner Minshew at quarterback. It's unbelievable. I just don't understand.
And not only that, it's still, yeah. Because, I mean, at this point, as, you know, much as we would have been clowned on if we had signed him, Carson Wentz would have been a better option.
Carson Wentz, yes.
Jared, I know you're shaking your head, but, like, I don't want him either.
And he's horrible.
He's terrible, but he's better than three at all. Carson Wentz wins that game yesterday. Carson Wentz gets them to some points.
What did they trade for Josh Dobbs? A sixth round pick?
They could have done that.
There you go.
Josh Dobbs, yes, would have been preferable to Carson Wentz. But yeah, Carson Wentz. Jacoby Brissett, if the Commanders were willing to have traded him, then he should have definitely been your target. But I mean, who knows what the hell the Commanders are going to do? Because Sam Howell, for all his like putting up yards, is kind of stinking lately.
He's the white Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
He has one of the highest like touch big big time throw percentages, and he also has like one of the highest like should have been intercepted percentages in the league.
That's the white Jets. James Winston. Right there.
Did you see the touchdown that Jameis threw?
Yes.
It was a touchdown, but like
yes.
He threw it. It was so off target, tipped right to Olave's hands, like 5 yards downfield.
Like it could
where the
been
ball should have been. And he was open James too.
Touchdown. Like it's perfect.
Good. Fantastic. Yeah, so I'm ready to fire Joe Douglas. I'm ready to fire Robert Saleh. I know that they won't be fired. I know that Aaron Rodgers is the de facto general manager right now, and whatever he wants goes. We only get one more year of Alan Lazard, and maybe Rodgers' influence, you know, will help when he's around full time. Now that he's around full time, but it's he brought in Cobb. He brought in I think it was Billy Turner, Tim Boyle. Yeah. Everybody he's brought in has been horrible. Connor, you asked last week, like in hindsight, is it worth it? And I said, yeah, like you still have to make this like you still have to bring in Aaron Rodgers. And I would make that decision still, in hindsight. But man, I mean it's tough. And like the Jets are gonna have a top five pick this year. They will. They're gonna lose out. Hopefully they lose that. I mean, getting to like 6 wins and having like the 12th pick would just like, what's the point of that?
That's what's gonna happen.
I know
that deep in my soul. They'll beat the Commanders, or they'll pull out like a super. They'll beat the Commanders. They'll beat the Patriots. Like,
watch Zach get the ball back. rattles off 4 straight. Aaron's back and
yeah, it's like
we're at eight and eight, and 9-8 gets to the playoffs, and Aaron's like, all right, I'm here.
I'm ready to play, guys.
Oh man!
I mean, it's a guarantee.
What a pathetic, sad life that we live.
It's almost a guarantee they win at least one or two more games. I feel that deep in my soul. Like, and it's not even like it's a draft where we'd be tanking for a quarterback. It's not the Trevor Lawrence year. It's you're tanking because you might have an outside shot at Marvin Harrison Jr. To pair with
the quarterbacks are really good this year.
They're not.
I wouldn't mind trading down and getting a lower first round pick, taking like Malik Nabers, or the guy from Washington, or kid from Florida State, and then, or you take a tackle like Olufashinau at like 3 or 4. Or the kid from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And then you try, or you, yeah, but like with the trade down, you want to get that second round pick back, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you have a top 10, top 5 pick, I'd almost want them to trade back so they can get second rounder back.
Yeah.
You know, cause but not
like,
having
they need,
that.
They need to get a tackle. Like Becton's not it.
He's going to be gone after this year.
Yeah. Jared.
This leads into my fire Joe Douglas point. This is a perfect fire Joe Douglas point because it's year 5 and what day 1 his promise was that he was going to fix the offensive line. He said that was going to be his impact. Everyone said that he's an offensive line guy, he knows how to build the wall. 5 years later, there's not a single piece that I'm convinced is foundational. Yes, AVT is great. He's been injured too. He's been out with 2 severe injuries for 2 years in a row. I worry about him now. Becton doesn't look like a long-term piece. Tippmann looks like a good piece. He looks pretty good. That's 1 in 5 years. Everyone else has been horrible. He's tried so many variations of it. That's the thing. It hasn't just been one offensive line that hasn't worked. There's been several pieces that he's brought in that just have come in and just not lived up to expectations, not lived up to what we needed.
It's just been a disaster since he got here.
Dwayne Brown's been a disaster. George Fent was a good find, and then he wound up being a bad find. It's just been a lot. So the offensive line hasn't been fixed. If 31 other football teams are somehow able to find wide receivers, not in the Garrett Wilson range, in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds, they take shots on some dudes, and it works eventually. We have none. our fourth round picks go to guys like James Morgan. I mean, dudes who were
well, we traded one of them because he was a headache, but he was a headache. Elijah Moore,
And he was Elijah Moore wound up being a headache. Like Denzel Mims wound up being a bust, and these are second round guys. But where are the fourth, fifth, sixth round picks? Just guys who are just fast dudes who can, you know, why are we paying Mecole Hardman in free agency when you can draft a dude who does exactly what he does in the sixth round? And they cut him anyways. I mean, you see a guy like Xavier Gibson, does everything that Randall Cobb does, but better. And he's an undrafted free agent. Where are these types of guys in his tenure? They're just not there. And he built, give him credit for building a really, really good defense. But what position on offense is notably better except for wide receiver one and RB one? I mean, it's brutal. And the free agency misses are horrific. I mean, our best free agency pickup the last 5 years was CJ Mosley, and I'm pretty sure that wasn't a Douglas deal.
Well, CJ Mosley, I was McCaffrey.
DJ Reed. Apologies.
I'll give him credit. Free agency would be, and Quincy Williams.
But why can't we not find one piece on offense throughout the draft, throughout free agency, that's just a dude that you take a flyer on and works, and it works out, and you got a controllable guy on a contract like that? Like we had, where's the Quincy Williams of the offense? Mm-hmm. Where is that? Why is, you know, I do not understand how this dude has been able to make an offense worse than it was when he came in 5 years ago under Gase. And it is because Zach Rosenblatt tweeted out today that it's statistically the worst offense of the century. How do you do that? And again, we talk about the backup quarterback thing ad nauseum. And yes, it's true. But listen, I know people talk about, oh, why not bring back a guy like Flacco? Flacco would cook under this. Flacco would disappear behind this offensive line like Obi-Wan in the original Star Wars trilogy when he gets hit by the lightsaber. He disappears and turns into nothing but a cloak. He would turn into dust behind this offensive line. But like you said, where is the Jacoby Brissett? Where is a Gardner Minshew? Someone who can do something. I know you mentioned Carson Wentz, but just Carson Wentz wasn't on an NFL team until week 10 this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, where is a guy that you go out and you're like, all right, here's our plan B. Zach Wilson wasn't good enough in week 17 and 18 of last season. Why is he good enough week two?
There was no plan B. Aaron Rodgers was plan A, B, C through Z. All right. But
we're not the Peyton Manning Colts, and that's the thing that they screwed up. They thought Aaron Rodgers was the Peyton Manning Colts, and that famous Tom Moore quote where they asked him why he doesn't practice with a backup with the starters, and he says because if 18 goes down, we're fucked, and we don't practice fucked. Aaron Rodgers, a 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers, is not that. You need a contingency plan with a team that is ready to win now. You need a contingency plan, and if you don't have one, you need to go get one. I don't. If the Vikings said your asking price was, or if you said the Vikings' asking price was too high, that's absurd. If they took a sixth round pick and you had to offer a next year's fifth round, whatever it is, go get him. I mean, that's a guy you could at least point to at the end of the season and say, you know what, we tried, and it doesn't feel like they went down swinging because it feels like they knew they had a 1 year safety net. And I think that's, and it's proving that. And I think it's disgusting. I think mm-hmm. it's disgusting. And I'll get into the coaching staff if you want, if we have time.
Yeah, I think Saleh needs to go too. I think that his in-game adjustments are terrible. I think that he's a great defensive mind. He's really good with, and Ulbrich, they've done a great job with the defense. When was the last time the Jets had an offensive coach actually work out? Like Kotay didn't work out, Gase didn't work out. Nobody like in our lifetime we haven't.
Rex is the defensive guy. Like
Rex is the defensive guy, and his offensive coordinator was Brian Schottenheimer, and those offenses sucked. You had Eric Mangini with Chad Pennington. You had Kotay before him. Herm Edwards was a defensive guy.
Mangini was a defensive guy. Like
Parcells was defensive.
Fucking Purdy, man. Brock fucking Purdy was Mr. Brock fucking Purdy. And he's second in MVP odds right now.
Tommy DeVito is actually not that he's a good quarterback, but at least the Giants, like, at least he has like a fun story. Like Giants fans can tune in. Giants fans can tune in on Sundays and be like, yeah, we know the team isn't good. I mean, they're sweating it out. We know like Ethan is like cursing Tommy DeVito's name because he wants the Giants to lose. But if Giants fans aren't rooting for them to lose, then guess what? They still can have fun watching Tommy Cutlets go out there and throw for touchdowns on Sundays. Like, we don't got that. We got nothing on offense.
Dude, I saw a graphic today. Yeah, it's pathetic. I saw a graphic today that Tommy DeVito has identical stats. Since he was named the starter, he has identical stats to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Which is more of an indictment on how poorly Patrick the Mahomes. Chiefs have been playing, if we're being honest. But still, like, his numbers aren't bad. Like, it really aren't. Like, we watched Tommy DeVito. The Jets beat Tommy DeVito. He was terrible, legitimately terrible. But they also didn't let him throw because he came in halfway through. I think Tyrod's coming back, actually.
Yeah, he's coming off IR, soon. But I think that they said they're going to ride the hot hand and probably stick with Tyrod.
Love to see.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens on Sunday. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know
who the Giants are playing, but yeah. Oh. Dude, I said it to Giants fans. I was just like, hell. I mean, Tyrod's going on injured reserve, or he's going to be hurt for a couple weeks. Like, I would have probably traded for him when he was hurt. It's like, sure, we just got to ride it out for a couple weeks with Wilson. You know, maybe who knows what happens? And Tyrod comes back, and then it's the end of the season. I would have taken that in a heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
But you know, they didn't do that. And after the Giants and the another big indictment on Douglas was that. The Giants, quote unquote, win happened 2 days before the trade deadline. And he didn't think to see that offensive performance and be like, maybe there's like an X factor here on why this offense kind of isn't working. And maybe there's something we can do to shake things up. And it was the same thing in the Eagles game, who Jesse, you and I have talked about this, that Jets have 4 wins. There was 1 win that you could kind of consider, quote unquote, like an offensive win, you know, and that was over Denver. The Philly game came from that late. The Philly win came from that late interception, and then the Eagles let him breeze walk into the end zone. The Bills win came on the overtime punt return, and shit, what was the fourth win?
Giants.
On the Giants. I mean, you can't. Yeah. I mean, none of these are basically because of the offense, you know.
And yeah, I mean, like, I'm watching like these highlights of like the like Berman's doing the like it's Monday Night Football right now. Berman's doing like the fastest 2 minutes.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, like the Dolphins, the Lions, the 49ers. These teams are playing a different sport than the Jets. Yeah. It's so sad, man. It's just.
But like
I said earlier, this team doesn't love us back. I'm not going to let myself get worked up by them anymore this season. Like, next year is the new season when we have a legitimate chance when Rodgers comes back. And I'll let myself get worked up when we actually have a chance of being good. But like, we're 4-8. I'm done investing my happiness into this team this season. It's not worth it.
Listen, you were right, Connor, in almost everything except for one thing. You said there was one consistent thing that's been wrong with the offense. And yes, I know you were talking about the quarterback, and you're not wrong. But it's the offensive coordinator. Yeah. Let's just call a spade a spade. When you're an offensive coordinator, your job is to have a quarterback that can execute your system. Regardless of the starter, a backup, especially a backup, you're supposed to have a guy who knows your system. Hell, that was the theoretical value in Tim Boyle, in giving Tim Boyle a roster spot instead of a coaching position, right? Is you bring in a backup that knows your system and knows at the very least how to execute it. We've now seen that there's only one quarterback on planet Earth that has a grasp of this system, and it's Aaron Rodgers. And I think it's readily apparent from, you see on the camera, on the sidelines every week when they pan into Rodgers on offense. Rodgers is clued in on these play calls. He's clued in. You see his visceral reaction to these play calls. He actually looks disgusted sometimes at some of the play calls. Is he disgusted at the play calls,
or is he disgusted at the execution of these play calls? Because this guy's defended Hackett.
No.
He's like, I've won two MVPs with him. And also, real quick, before you continue, there were guys running open all day yesterday. Like, if you look at the dots, like Garrett Wilson was open like nearly every play, which is just even more frustrating that Hackett can't get these quarterbacks to understand the system when you have guys like the guys are running open. These quarterbacks just can't figure it out. It's ridiculous.
Look, and you're not wrong, because yesterday they wound up getting very open. They did. And it was Garrett Wilson.
Wide
open all day long. And it's because all he's a special talent. Yeah. It's a special talent. But regardless, they were open. He can't find a quarterback to hit any guys when they do get open. And again, by they, I mean Garrett Wilson. There was literally a play where there were three guys in the same exact area over the middle of the field. It's mind-boggling watching this system be quote-unquote executed. Sean Payton was right all along. It's the worst coaching job in sports. He is a truly horrific offensive mind. Again, there's only one guy on planet Earth. And again, the coaching staff admitted as much earlier in the season, with a weird amount of pride, I'd like to say, that Rodgers is clued in to these plays, has a headset on, and actively chimes in to make adjustments. Like, your quarterback that's out on the sidelines is overriding some things that your offensive coordinator is saying because he's that clueless. I mean, they've actively admitted that, and they've been prideful about it, that so Rodgers is in the headset with Zach. It's weird, and it just shows how bad this guy is, and they're going to bring him back. They're not even willing to make any adjustments in terms of bringing him back. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke how they just bow down to Rodgers. And plain and simple, I would fire him. I'd get rid of all of his buddies and say, listen, you want to retire? Go ahead. I don't care. The future of this franchise is at stake. It is. I'm sorry. It is.
It's way too big to.
He's going to be letting guy. He'll be back. And Sal will be back, and Joe Douglas will be back, because Rodgers tore his Achilles, and they're going to be back. And I mean, chances are the Jets are pretty decent next year with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not predicting anything anymore until I see him on the field healthy and lasting a full game. I'm not like getting my hopes up or anything, but I'm going to be interested to see, looking back on these types of conversations next season, and if we feel the same way. Even with Rodgers, because that's how bad Hackett is. Like it's genuinely baffling how this guy won two MVPs with this guy calling the plays. Like, it makes me think, like, how often was Rodgers calling like changing the play at the line? You know,
I mean, a lot.
We watched this in training camp. They were yelling at each other, like what are you calling right there? Like, freaking out. Like,
that's why Rodgers likes him, because he lets him adjust it, because he lets him call his own stuff. He lets him do it on the fly. He's another puppet. He's another puppet from Puppeteer Aaron. I'm done with it. I'm done with the clown show. And I get the move that they made. I get why they did everything that they did to not adjust like they did with the backup quarterback thing, like they're doing now with the offensive play caller, even demote him for the rest of the season, something. And they're just not doing it because they're counting. They're bowing to this dude, and I'm tired of it, and it's no longer worth it. I'm sorry, it's no longer worth it. The Jets ceiling next year, quite frankly, to me, I don't think is going to wind up being a Super Bowl like it was this season. And I'm sorry, I'm not in it to win 10 games, and I know I'll be excited if they break the playoff streak or whatever, but this is just not worth it. I can't see the light at the end. Do you see the light? I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Do you?
Is 10 and 7
and being knocked out of the wild card the light at the end of the tunnel? Because I don't think that excites me anymore, even after 13 years of not making the playoffs.
I think that this team with Aaron Rodgers is in such a better position. Like, it hurts right now, man. I'm with you. Like, this sucks. we're not having... I am straight up not having a good time.
Straight up not having a good time.
But, like... That man's coming back next year.
And he can come back without Lazard, and he... And he could come back. Batman can come back without Randall Cobb, and Batman can come back without Nathaniel Hackett.
We're on the same.
Batman is 40. Grow up.
Yeah. No, 100%.
We are 100% on the same page here, Jared.
I know we are. I'm yelling at Aaron, not you. You know I love you.
I'm yelling at empty space. Well, put it this way.
We're on the same page.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No.
You can take comfort in the fact that the only one of the people that are players wise, at least, that will be back next season is Lazard, because they don't really have a choice there.
That
gives me comfort.
Dalvin Cook.
We'll get the blogger or whatever his name is from Green Bay that's coming off a torn knee. We'll sign it. We'll sign him for $17 million a year. Yeah. Woo.
Mind David Bakhtiari.
Oh, shit.
Thank you, Bakhtiari. Sorry. Sorry, Brian Bulaga. I'm sure you're a lovely human being.
I'm sure you're a lovely guy. But
I think he's been retired for a little bit now, but...
Me too. I'm saving dudes.
Let's get
Bakhtiari, and let's, like, listen. As long as Alan Lazard is not wide receiver 2 and Randall Cobb isn't wide receiver 3 next year, we're going to be in better shape than we are this year. We're going to get Becton on the right side. You draft a left tackle. You have ABT back. Connor McGovern comes back. And, I mean, think about it. Like, the offensive line is decimated. Like, it really is. And say that Joe Douglas hasn't invested in the offensive line. Has it worked out? Absolutely not. The injuries have been horrible. The Billy Turner, terrible. But the guy has invested in the line. We've dealt just with more injuries to the offensive line over the last 2 years than I feel like any team in the league.
And Woody Johnson's gonna replace the turf with because
we lost you for a second.
It's gonna be the worst thing in the world. I said he's gonna replace the turf with hot magma because he's.
Yeah, I was gonna say you can fill in the gaps with your imagination for what they'll be replacing the turf with.
Well, they're replacing the turf with magma because apparently that'll be safer than dudes tearing their Achilles, and they'll do no research again, and the NFL will step in again.
Austin Path, hot magma,
liquid hot magma,
magma.
Now I officially don't care about the team anymore. I got too angry. No, I officially don't care.
Well, I mean,
like, apathy mask.
Jared, you've loved the Jets your whole life. The Jets have loved you back.
it's not a fever pitch quote. It's the Curb Your Enthusiasm quote. The Jets killed Carl.
Or the one where he's talking about, I posted it the other day, of the Austin Severian Jets catch. Yeah. Right. And he's like, you bring up the Jets in this house, Larry? The fucking Jets? And he's like, you know what they've done? But they've done to you! And it's like, he goes, I haven't had a happy season since 1969. It's like, oh maybe 1998 with Parcells when he's coached. Yeah, but maybe that. Other than that, nothing. Like,
yeah, that there you go. So
that episode
the Jets
of
killed,
was the perfect
Carl.
Encapsulation of what life is like as a Jet fan. Like, anyone that, as an outsider, that wanted, like, a peek in for some reason at life as a Jets fan, that's it. And the only part of that hasn't aged well was Larry wanting Deshaun Watson. Other than that, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
But, still, I mean, rather Zach Wilson. I'll go to my grave with that.
But, I mean, look at it this way. I mean, back then, of course. I mean,
oh,
right before
God,
those allegations.
Deshaun was unbelievable.
Right before the allegations came out, Jesse, you and I conducted multiple pods saying that before that draft, being like, what if they trade for Deshaun Watson? Like,
I was actively hoping for it. Like,
like, of course.
Do you remember that? Remember that play he had? Remember that play that he had in the playoffs? Maybe it was against Buffalo where he, like, spun out of that sack.
Yeah.
And, like, had that. Maybe it was he either ran it or he threw it for, like, deep, like, or ran it far, but it was. He was so good before that whole scandal dropped.
Yeah. I mean, and look at it this way.
I don't know if he'll ever get back there, but
the fucking Texans, the Texans have basically gone back to back with like stud quarterbacks almost. Like Deshaun Watson in his prime, and now CJ Stroud looks like he's going to be the next, you know, he's the next stud.
I know, he's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable.
Like, how much of Deshaun Watson was just fucking D-hops down there somewhere?
I mean, I don't know.
Because he can't be like, fuck it, Amari Cooper's down there somewhere. Like, that's not the same.
David Njoku's down there somewhere. Yeah, Elijah Moore's down there somewhere.
Donovan Peoples-Jones is down there somewhere.
I know you guys saw on Sunday with Joe Flacco hitting Elijah Moore, and he got like 80 yards or something like that. And like he made like one long catch or something like that. I'm like, this is my worst nightmare. Joe Flacco is going to Elijah Moore for like two touchdowns today, isn't he? And I'm going to keep spiraling.
I bet Elijah Moore has caught more touchdowns from Joe Flacco than any other quarterback in his career.
I mean, you might be right.
I think I am.
Man, his rookie season was awesome. Like, he had a lot of fun his rookie season.
I covered him in college in Mississippi. I was right there when he like lifted his leg during the Egg Bowl and cost his team 15 yards in the entire game because he celebrated and the extra point got pushed back to the 40 and then the kicker missed it.
We saw who he was. I mean, look at it this way. His rookie.
I was sitting right there and I just turned my coworker. I was like, way he just did that. Could not believe it. College kickers can't make kicks anyway. You put him to the 39 with the game on the line and the biggest game of his life. Oh my god. Anyway, continue.
No, I mean that 2021 Robert Saleh's like first rookie season, they finished 4-12, or if they were playing 17 games at that point, I'm not sure. But we all felt relatively fine at the end of the season because we know they weren't doing anything. We were like, Elijah Moore, stud. It's going to be around forever. Michael Carter, stud running back. Going to be around forever. Zach Wilson showed kind of promise at the end of the season. Corey Davis. Like,
Corey
this
Davis.
Is it.
That's another
we're feeling
reason
good.
Why, like, can you imagine if Corey Davis was here this season and we would have not seen Alan Lazard like at all. He would have been irrelevant.
He would have faded
Garrett
away.
And Corey Davis, and then, like, everything that could have gone wrong this season on the offensive side of the ball has gone wrong.
Yes.
And that's why Joe Douglas is going to get another shot. And that's why, you know, nothing's going to happen to Hackett and nothing's going to happen to Saleh, because it was an absolute disaster this year. Like, a lot of it was out of the team's control. It was freak injuries and horrible luck. And that's the excuse that they're going to use. And we all know that Joe Douglas deserves to be fired. He deserves everything that's coming to him with the eventual, like, he's going to get fired at some point. It's going to happen. Happens to everybody, and he'll have earned it because he's really just messed a lot of stuff up. He's done a lot of good, but he's also done a lot of bad. And the bad is worse than the good. Incredibly, because he drafted multiple all pros. So yeah, Houston's up next. CJ Stroud. I'm excited to watch a full game of CJ Stroud. I haven't gotten to do that yet.
Me too.
He's been awesome in all the highlights I've seen. I'm just watching like an extended drive on Red Zone. Oh, that's bad. That's really bad.
What happened?
Yeah, oh my god. I still have a 15-point lead, but that's bad. Oh my god. Anyway. He had like a long touchdown. My god, did he just have like a 60? Bad radio. I'm sorry, folks. This is really bad. Wait, radio, but holy shnikes, what did that?
Who was it?
It was a Ridley touchdown. 76 yard touchdown. Sick.
Nice. And there goes Jamar.
Yep.
Oh shit.
Anyway, yeah, I'm excited to watch CJ Stroud, and the Jets are going to lose this game. I don't think either of you care to give a prediction, right? Like,
I'm not giving predictions on games anymore this season, Jesse. I don't have it in me.
Yeah, I don't have it in me either. Jared, thanks for coming on. I don't know. We don't have much else to talk about, right? We're we're all wrapped up here, folks.
Yeah, just must be. It's going to be exciting to watch a team that got its quarterback and head coach pairing right on the first go around.
Look at how easy it is.
I mean, granted, Tank Dell is a top five pick. You know, who's the other guy? They got
Nico Collins.
This is all just to be angry. Nico Collins was a top 15 pick right around where Garrett Wilson was taken. Clearly, that's the only way you can build that receiver. It's just going to be very exciting to watch us go against literally the
defensive coach with an offense that, you know, is explosive. Pretty crazy. Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I'm not sure that I can give up on Salah is because there's no way that every San Francisco assistant hire works out but ours. There's just no way we're that unlucky,
and
right?
DeMeco Ryans came out today and said he owes Salah a lot. Like, he owes him a lot for where he ended up. I mean, he took over as Niners defensive coordinator when Salah left, and he served on Salah's staff like the entire time Salah was the defensive coordinator. So I'm with you there, Jared. There's no way that could possibly be the case. Because what's going to happen is if Salah gets fired, then, you know, not at, like you've been saying, they've all earned, you know, a stay of execution because of the Rodgers stuff. The only one I could see like getting demoted is Hackett. Not this season. It would happen in the off season. They come out and be like, so-and-so is taking over as that. What, listen, I'm just saying it could happen. I'm not saying it will happen, Jared.
The only change that's going to happen is someone's going to hire Jeff Ulbrich to be a head coach, and we're going to get a worse defensive coordinator next year.
Do you guys want to feel good right now?
Finish.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
That was my thought. Is that possible?
I said it to Jesse, and I think that's definitely a possibility. Is that there is a real chance that someone he takes head coaching interviews in the offseason. Whether or not people see him as a head coach versus a coordinator type thing.
Obviously, I don't see it yet.
But
I think that he needs like another.
It's a little more time in the oven type of situation.
You guys want to know Jake Browning's stats right now? Browning. He is 19 of 21 for 261 yards and a touchdown. A quarterback rating of 134.3. So that's how we're going to end the show.
Fuck you, Jesse. Why did you tell me that? That makes me so angry.
Follow me on social media at Jesse Sinver. That was back in the day. Follow me on on social media at Jesse Finver, on Twitter. You can find me
at Connor, Connor underscore two underscores. Sheeran, Sheeran, and Elon. Answer my emails. Give me my full name back as my username. I need it. I'll pay for a Cybertruck.
You don't have to follow me. Follow these dudes. I'm years old. I'm lost. I'm done with my days. My prime is behind me on social media. If I was a running back, they'd be putting me out to pasture right now. So just follow these dudes while they still got it.
Are you calling yourself the Frank Gore of social media? Frank Gore on the Jets.
No, my highs were way higher. I think I was more Sean Alexander than Frank Gore.
I like that. I like that comparison.
Or Sean, I had a nice 27 touchdown season, give or take.
You made the cover of Madden once.
Yeah, made it. That's all I needed. I was gonna say Peyton Hillis, but I'll give myself a little bit more credit than that.
Hey, Peyton Hillis did save that guy's life. So, you know,
yeah, he did.
There's something to be said for that. Saying.
I'm not that strong a man. My character's not that great.
All right, folks, that's it for us. Thanks for listening. Jared, thanks again for coming on. And Con, talk to you next week, bud.
Peace.